I've heard the questions, seen blank expressions, felt the pain that sin has caused. I've dealt with heartache, I've watched a horse break, of families who've suffered great loss. I've sometimes wondered about the stress we are under, and I'll admit I've even asked why. But when I recall the answer to all of life's questions is Jesus Christ, and He is the hope for the hopeless, the water, the giver of life. For the weary, love for those cast aside,
and He gives
rest to the restless, freedom from fear. When things seem impossible, know that He's near. For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Desperately searching for answers you can't seem to find. So many choices, wrestling with voices, you're looking for some peace of mind. Feeling the shame from past mistakes as the tears fall from your eyes. Don't be discouraged,
my friend, take courage.
Your answer
is Jesus Christ,
and He is the
hope for the hopeless, the water, the giver of life.
He is
the strength for the weary, love for those cast aside,
and He gives
rest to the restless, freedom from fear. When things seem impossible, know that He's near. For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
And He gives
rest to the restless, freedom from fear.
When things seem impossible,
know that He's near. For all of the problems of life,
for all of the pain and the strife,
for all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Praise the Lord. Thank Him for Jesus Christ. Amen. Answer to everything I need and things I don't even know I need yet. Amen. Jesus. All right, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Kings in chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. When you find your place there, if you're able to, if you'd please stand to your feet with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4. When you find that chapter, if you look down in verse 8, I'll read aloud if you'll follow along in your copy of the Word of God. 2 Kings 4, verse 8. Stay with me. I'll read quite a few verses. 2 Kings 4, verse 8, the Bible says this: "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, there where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. Verse 11. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and lay there. And he said to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived, and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Our Heavenly Father, we're coming to you, Lord, lots of problems in this life, lots of things that we go through, but we know that you are the answer. So ask now, as we sit under the preaching of your precious word, that we'd open our hearts, open our ears and our minds to whatever you have for us. Help us to receive it gladly. Let it change us from the inside out. Lord, use Pastor Becker in a mighty way. Give him the words to say. Fill him with your Holy Spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. I wanted to have Drew to get some of his Bible reading in today, and so I'm glad he was able to do that. We could have read more, but I thought, I don't want you to fall asleep during the Bible reading. You could save that for the preaching time if you want, but that'll be good. As we look at this passage today about this man Elisha, this prophet that God has used to pass by the way of this woman of Shunem. We don't know her name. We know some of her life story, and we see that as Elisha passed by her way, that God did a work through her for the man of God, and that God would use the prophet Elisha to help this woman, and God just used this situation as we begin today. We see that Elisha, first of all, he comes by this place called Shunem. It was about 20 miles or so from Mount Carmel, where it seems that Elisha had spent some time, and this road they went by, Shunem, was one of the main trade routes. So he would pass by there a number of times and would end up going by her house. The Bible says that this woman was a great woman. She was a great woman, meaning a great woman of wealth or of nature of things there, not of stature, I don't believe. And so as he passed by, this woman looked at Elisha and said, I perceive this a holy man of God. I perceive this a man of God. And so she'd have him come by and constrained him to come and eat. First of all, we see in this story the provision that she provided for the prophet. The provision. The Bible says in verse number 8, it says that she constrained him to eat bread. Now, I don't know too many men that you have to force to eat as they go by your way. If there's food, generally we find our way over there. You ever go to an outing or a party and there's food there and you think, can I eat now? How about now? Have we prayed yet? Is someone going to eat first? Well, someone's got to start it, so maybe it should be me. And so you go and get it started. But she constrained him to come by and said, come and eat some bread. And so it became that way that every time he passed by that way, she thought she would see the man of God was coming and would make him some food or have it ready for when he would pass by. And I would assume that this became a special place and a time for each of them, if you will, to get together. She was married, just her and her husband, and he would pass by and get some food and was go his way. But after that, she would provide for him. But her perception was this in verse number 9. She says, I perceive that this is an holy man of God. This must have been a spiritual woman. It must have been a woman that feared the Lord. And as she saw Elisha passing by that way, I perceive this is a man of God. There must have not been a whole lot of interaction with them, but maybe she saw him there praying. Maybe she saw him there reading the parchments, the scriptures that he would have, or maybe heard about some things he had done, and she would perceive that there was something special about this man, Elisha. And so as the time came, she turned to her husband in verse number 10, and she said, let's make a little chamber and a little prophet's chamber. And she says there that they would set up there a bed and a table, a stool and a candlestick, so that when he came by, he had a place to stay, a place of his own, a little guest chamber, so he could come by and not only would have some food, but he'd have a place to stay when he came there. And that was a special place that really seemed to be just for Elisha, just for him as he had his travels. It was probably not used much, but I can imagine it became a special place for Elisha, a place to eat, a place to rest, a place to pray or study, whatever God would use, maybe a place of quiet. But then we see a problem that came up that Elisha said, would you send for this woman and see, is there something that she needs? She's been so good to me, and I'd love to see if there's anything I could do back for her. And through their conversation, Gehazi, the servant, said, well, I see this woman that her and her husband, they're old and they have no child. And there was a problem, and there was a desire, there was a need to have a young a child, but they were older and they were past those childbearing years. And so Elisha turned to her in verse number 15, and he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And she was not accusing him of lying, but don't promise me something that's not going to happen, something she had longed for, and said, don't promise me something that's not going to come through. But as the promise was given by the man of God and through the Lord's blessing and miracle, it says, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. So you see this interaction between Elisha and this Shunammite woman, and the time that as he had passed by and she had fed him, had a place to stay, and God provided a son, and the years had come and passed, and to where, as we read in the story, that this boy had grown up a bit. And as dad was out in the field and the boy went out something happened, not exactly sure, whether it be a stroke or a heat stroke or something, but all of a sudden he said, my head. And they brought him inside and brought him to his mother, and he lay in her lap and he died. That God would give her this son and then would take his life would almost seem cruel that God would allow this to happen, but in all this, God had a plan. Through all this, God was working in her life. And he came in and she took this boy, and as he passed away on her knees, she took him and she laid him not in his own bed, not in their own house, but took him to the prophet's chamber where the man of God had been, and took this boy and laid him there, and she told the servants, saddle the ass, get the donkey ready, I'm going to the man of God. I know who I need to talk to. I know who can get a hold of God for me. And she got ready and told her husband, that's where I'm going. And he said, well, what kind of day is it? Is it a new moon or a Sabbath? What kind of day is it? And in verse number 23, she made a statement that she would repeat later on again as well. But when he asked her, what are you going there for? Is this a special day to meet the prophet? And the end of verse 23, and she said, it shall be well. It shall be well. Her son was lifeless and dead, laying in that chamber, and she went to go see the man of God. She didn't say, it is well right now, but she said, it shall be well. It shall be well. No matter what's going on in your life, if you're willing to trust and follow God, it shall be well. And as she went her way, she went to the man of God, and they saw her coming to Carmel, Mount Carmel, the Bible says. And Gehazi said, I think this that Shunammite woman, that woman where you'd stay at their place there. And she came over there, and they said, is it well? Look at verse number 26, and he says to Gehazi, run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? How are things going? What's wrong? You ever get that phone call in the middle of the night, and you think something's got to be wrong, and then you realize it was just a family member that accidentally called you in the middle of the night, and now you can't go back to sleep? Or they call to tell you some unimportant news, and you think, please don't call me in the middle of the night with something not urgent. But she came hurrying there, and they knew something was not right. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she said, it is well. Now, was her situation good? Were things great? Was this exactly how she saw life going out? How things were planned? I mean, things were good. God had blessed them. But her response to the question, is it well? She says, it is well. It is well. And so they came, and she came, and she threw herself at the prophet's feet and told him what had happened. And she said, I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for a son, but God gave him to me. But then God took his life. I didn't ask for these things to happen. And she said, please, could you help? So Elisha sent Gehazi, the servant, back and said, take the staff and lay it on this child, this boy's face, and see if his life would come back to him again. And Gehazi went, and the child did not come back to life. And he came back to Elisha and told him what happened. So Elisha went, and he brought himself, and he went to this young man, and the Bible says he stretched himself upon him. He laid upon him, and he prayed, and God said his body became warm again. He sneezed, and he came back to life, was walking around, and his mother came and grabbed him up in her arms, and he was brought back to life, and God restored that family again. We know how the story ends because I told you the rest of it. We didn't read all the scriptures because that would have been another 10 verses, and I don't know if I could have kept you awake long enough to read 10 more verses, but all that to say is that God had a plan through all this. We know how the story ended, but she didn't in the middle of that story. And maybe you're in that place of life where God has allowed you to go through a storm, where God has given you something but seemingly has maybe taken it away. God has brought a challenging situation upon your life, maybe by health or with family, whatever the need may be. And in the middle of her storm, in the middle of her difficulty, she said, it shall be well. She told her husband, it shall be well. I'm going to the man of God, and I'm going to get a hold of God because I know that God can help fix the situation. And when God got a hold of that situation, even before that, when she spoke with Elisha, he said, is it well with you? And she said, it is well. It's well. Things are good. There was peace in her heart, knowing that God would work all things together for good. She didn't know how it was going to end, but God knew. And she was willing to trust God that if God gave her this child, that God would make it good in the end, not knowing how it would turn out exactly. But she said, is it well? Was her situation good at the time? No. Was this what she had asked for? No. Did she do anything wrong? No. This was just part of God's plan in her life. Maybe you're in that place of life where you didn't ask for it, you didn't call upon it, you didn't do anything wrong to deserve maybe a punishment or a trial to come in your life, but God allowed something to come your way, and you can truly say, in the midst of your trial, it is well. Can you say that? Not just by words, but by having peace in your heart to say, it is well. I heard a sermon several months ago by an evangelist. He was an evangelist at the Bible college where I attended, Brother Wally Davis, and he preached a message that I listened to, and he entitled it, it is well. And as he preached the message, he told the story about what he was going through in his life at the time. He had pancreatic cancer and went through all kinds of treatments, and it was not going well. And and he had lost so much weight, and he was a fiery evangelist preacher, and it came to the point where he met with the doctors, and they said, there's nothing else we can do. We've done all the treatments, we've done all that we can do, and it's not looking good. And he actually told him, he said, we can't do any more treatments, but also he said, you can't eat anymore. He couldn't eat anymore. His health had gone down so far, and he was talking about desiring to preach and see his grandkids grow up and things of that nature. And as he preached that message about this woman, but truly about his life and his testimony, he said, it is well. Can you say that in the midst of difficulty, that it is well? Even if things don't change and get better, no matter what the circumstances are, God is still good, right? No matter the circumstances of life, no matter what's going on in this world or in your family, with you personally, no matter what the case may be, God is still good. And God is still on the throne, and God has a plan, and God can work all things together for good, even in the trial. Even before the situation changes, even if it doesn't get better in your eyes, but if it's what God allows and brings, you can say, it is well. It is well. A couple of thoughts with the message today. Pretty simple, but I pray it would be a help today. How can you say it is well in the midst of a trial? Number one is this. Realize that God has a plan. We talked about it already, but know this, that God has a plan. You ever realize that God has a plan that you don't always see? You ever realize that God has a plan that you don't always know, that you can't always figure out? But here's what the Bible says, that His ways are higher than my ways, and His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. So know this, that God has a plan that I don't see, but if God sees it and God's in control, I can trust that God has a plan. That God has a plan for each and every person in this room today, that God has a plan for your life. That God truly is in control. You know that? As you look around this world, it's easy to look at things that are out of control. This world is out of control. And walking away from God, but know this, no matter what way the world goes, God is in control. And God knows what's going on, and God is not forgotten. God is not blind to what's happening. God is in control, and God has a plan. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? Too many people think that they are in charge of their own lives. And we've got to try to figure everything out ourselves, work it out ourselves for good. But know this, that God has a plan, and all I need to do is follow that plan. That sounds simple, but yet it's simple to say, and it's not difficult to do, but it takes trusting in the Lord. See, when it came to the point in this Shunammite woman's life that her son was laying lifeless, and she probably stopped for a minute and thought, what do I do? And she said, well, the man of God, he's the one that spoke to God, and God's the one that gave me the son, so I know exactly where to go. I need to go and get with God about this thing. And so as she got on her way, and she said, I'm not talking to anyone on the way. I remember when I was driving my wife to the hospital, and our son was about to be born. It was the middle of the night, because that's when kids like to be born. And I remember her getting my wife in the car, and went to pick up my sister-in-law and got her in the car as well to come and be with us during that time. And I'm driving to the hospital, and I thought, it's the middle of the night, and you're driving to the hospital. You're allowed to run a red light, right? I don't know if I had to, but there was something in me that I really wanted to. I remember thinking, I'm allowed to run it, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm a criminal. But you think there was an urgency about what was going on. And we got to the hospital, and I said, we need a room. My wife's having a baby. Forget the paperwork stuff. We've got some important business going on here. And I can imagine this woman, she's going to see the prophet. She thought, everyone get out of my way. I've got a mission. I need to get to God. You ever been in that place in your life where you thought, I can't get to anyone else? No one else can take care of my problems. There's no answers I can find on the internet, no amount of money that can take care of the need. But you fall to your knees, and as she went to the prophet and she grabbed on him and said, "Would you please help me? I need to get a hold of God." You know, it's a great thing, Christian, that when you have a need, first of all, God knows when you have a need, but God hears your needs. When you come before God and say, "Oh God, I need your help today. God, would you meet this need? You know what's going on, and I don't know, but I trust your plan." See that God has a plan, number one. Number two, that God was still in control. Remember when Jesus sent the disciples on the ship, and as they went on the ship, he sent them the other side of the sea, and all of a sudden the waves were crashing all around, and they thought, "We're going to die." And then Jesus asleep in the bottom of this ship, and they say, "Would you wake, Master? How?" And he said, "Peace, be still." He said, "What are you guys," this isn't in the Bible, "what are you guys freaking out for? What's going on up here? You've got Jesus in the ship. What is there to worry about? It's not going down. He's the one that created the sea. He's the one that brought the storm. He's the one that sent you out here. Know this, Christian, God is in control. God is in control. When it things seems like things are out of control, God is still in control. And then thirdly today is this: God can do anything. God can do anything. You may think, "Well, there's no answers to my problem." God always has the answer. Say, "Well, there's nothing that could heal this situation." Well, God can always heal. God can always help. God can do anything. There's nothing that God cannot do. God can do anything. And as Gehazi went and he laid that staff upon the boy, and his life didn't come back, and he went to that chamber and he laid himself prostrate out on that young boy, and his life was brought back to him again, and he came back to his mother. Look, if you will, in chapter 4, and turn down here to verse number 36. 2 Kings 4, verse 36, "And he called Gehazi and said, 'Call this Shunammite.' So he called her, and when she was come to him, he said, 'Take up thy son.' And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out." God had done the impossible. God had done the impossible. That first of all, God had given her this son. God allowed his life to be taken, but that God raised him up again. God was able to do a miracle. A couple of thoughts in closing this morning is this: do you know Jesus as your Savior? Maybe you're anxious and worried and upset or angry or troubled about things in your life that maybe I know the situations, maybe I don't, maybe others don't know about it, but it just something inside that troubles you. The answer to life's questions, as it was sung about, is Jesus Christ. If you're trying to go through your problems in life alone, you go through them by yourself. But to know that you're saved and on your way to heaven, that the Lord lives in your heart, the Holy Spirit saves you, a home in heaven, that God walks with you through your trials, you don't have to go through it alone. That you have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Number two is this: are you walking with God? Or are you walking away from God? Too many times in our life, things are not going well because we're running away from God. Jonah, are things going well in the belly of the whale? "Not so much, Lord." "Well, what should you do?" "I probably should get going to Nineveh." "Okay, I'm going to send the whale that way. And when you get on the shore, you better go do what I told you to do." And he went running off in the right direction instead of running away from God. Too many times in our life, things are not going well because we're not doing well with the Lord. Because we've wandered from God, from his word. We've been leaving the word of God, leaving prayer behind, leaving church behind. And it's not going well because we're not walking with the Lord. But my question is this: are you walking with God? Are you spending time with the Lord? And then number three is this: are you trusting in the Lord? Are you trusting? The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Be careful. Don't be worried. Don't be troubled about things. As a Christian, we don't have to worry and fret and be upset about all the things in the world like the rest of people do. Why? Because when you know that God is on your side, you know that you're saved and you're going to heaven, you have the word of God, you have the truth that Jesus Christ is the victory, then you don't have to be troubled about everything going on. You don't have to be up and down in life. You can be stable knowing that, again, God is in control. As you look at these few words that this woman spoke it as well, it makes us think about this hymn. It is actually my favorite hymn that we sing it as well. Spafford, the man that wrote this, knew something about life's unexpected challenges. He was a successful attorney and real estate investor who lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871, around the same time his beloved four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Thinking a vacation would do good for the family, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to England. Planning to join them, he finished some business and was going to come and meet with them as they crossed over the Atlantic Ocean. The ship was involved in a terrible collision and it sunk. More than 200 people lost their lives on that collision out on that ocean, including all four of Spafford's precious daughters. His wife Anna survived the tragedy, and upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram to her husband that said, "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Spafford immediately set sail for England. At one point during the voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy that struck Spafford's family, he told him and he said, "We're passing over the spot where this wreck happened, where it occurred." As he thought about his daughters, he wrote the words to this song that we sing today, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Looking at the place in the waters where his daughters had perished and his son had previously perished, he said, "Through all that, it is well with my soul." How are things with you and God today? Do you know that you're saved and on your way to heaven? If you don't know that, that's the most important need that you have today. Things will never be well with your soul until your soul is saved, forgiven of your sin, and know that you have a home in heaven. You know this, the Savior loves you. The Savior died for you. He's prepared a place in heaven for those that trust in Him. All you have to do is be willing to receive the free gift of salvation, eternal life by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Things will never be well with your soul until you know Him as your Savior. But once you get saved, there's things of life that come up, don't they? Life happens. Each day has its own difficulties and hurdles and the things that you go through in life. But know this, through all of it, it is well. It is well. Can you truly say that going through your trial today? Through your difficulty today? No matter what it is, good, bad, or indifferent, you can look to God as a Christian and say, it is well. It is well. God is in control. God can do the impossible. We can simply trust God today. With head bowed and eyes closed, we'll begin the invitation time. God, I pray that you would have your hand upon this time and speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here today that is troubled about their soul, that does not know if they were to die today that they would go to heaven or hell, they're just not sure of it. Maybe they've never put their faith in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior. Lord, may today be that day. Would you help save the soul closest to hell that they would trust in you alone? Help us to show them from the Word of God how much you love them and you died on the cross to pay for their sins and mine, and they would be willing to receive that free gift of eternal life. Is there anyone in this room this morning that would say, "I don't know that I'm saved, and I don't know if I were to die today that I would go to heaven based on the Word of God"? I don't know that, but I'd like to know that. With no one looking around, would you slip your hand up and say, "I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that I'd go to heaven, and truly things are not well with my soul, and I need to settle that matter today"? Would you slip your hand up and then put it down so we could pray for you? I don't want to embarrass you or call you out, but I'd love to pray for you. If you don't know that, would you slip your hand up real quick and then put it down? Maybe there's something else that God has allowed into your life, as many of us is the case. Whatever you're going through, can you truly say it is well? How are things going with you and God? How are things going with you and your family, your work, your school, whatever the case may be? The situations of life are never going to be perfect, but can you go through them truly saying it is well?